Hey, we're back with another episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, if people want to get in touch with us, where can they do that?
Well, you can tweet us at Brick House Pod or go to our website, brickhousepodcast.com. Contact us through there. Email us, Bob or Matt at brickhousepodcast.com. If you like the show, you should rate and review us on iTunes. We really appreciate that. It helps us get towards the fun advertisements that we can read and all the other spoils of the podcasting world of the super incredible.
Yes.
I'm really proud to announce the team we're previewing today.
Who's that?
The number four team. I put them at four, just resisting every urge
Someone
to put them at
be
one.
Put at four.
Yeah. We're previewing the Los Angeles Clippers today, Matt.
Bob, we know a lot of things here on Brick House, but one of the things we know is Doc Rivers loves signing players that have played for him, played well against him, or his wife has given birth to.
Right.
And they have three max contracts on the roster, so that means that every year they have to switch the bench unit in and out, find pieces that fit, minimum contract veterans, late first-round picks who never see the court, et cetera, et cetera. Brandon Bass is added to the list of former Doc coach Celtics players. Paul Pierce is going into his final NBA season. Jeff Green left in free agency. Doc's kind of looking for some help, so he reached out to a lot of players this summer in his annual tradition of shoring up depth with veterans. This is apparently an annual tradition that we just talked about. He got a lot of voicemails, so let's hear some of the messages that he left.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear that.
This is a recording from Ray Allen's voicemail.
Ray, it's Doc. Man, I've been thinking a lot about the time I hit that money in the ceiling of the locker room at the Staples Center. I told you guys we'd come back here and win a championship, and we're going to get that money back. You remember that? Ray, I'm calling for a favor. Ever since 2008, I've been hunting money in the ceiling of locker rooms. San Antonio, Golden State, Cleveland. I can't find it, Ray. My ceiling cash is bankrupt to me. It's causing problems at home. Help us win a title, Ray. Come join the team. I know you and Pierce don't get along, but put that mess behind you, man. We really need some inspiration this year. And Ray, if you don't join the team, can I borrow some money, dude? Help your old coach out, Ray.
This one's from Kevin Garnett's phone.
Ubuntu, KG. Doesn't that mean all for one and one for all? It's hard for me to think that with me here on the West Coast and you all the way up there in Minnesota, who lives in Minnesota? That didn't work out too well for Prince. Kevin, the truth is, guys could really use you. We're all afraid of Chris Paul. He yelled at my wife, Kev. She made eye contact with him while she was chewing, and he says it was disrespectful. Damn, Taffy. But we know you can handle him. Play for the team. Be my assistant. Be a ball boy for all I care. Oh, shit, I think I hear him coming. Help me out, KG.
Here's Brian Scalabrini's phone.
Hey, this is Brian.
Scal, what's up, man? Didn't think you'd pick up the phone.
Doc, is that you? I'm pretty free, actually.
Perfect, Scal, we need you in training camp.
Really?
Nah, man, KG bet me you wouldn't think I was serious. You just won me some ceiling cash. See ya, buddy.
Kind of surprised Doc didn't reach out to Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill while he's at it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Grant Hill already played for the Clippers.
Oh, that's I forgot about that. T-Mac is too busy playing baseball, or was. Sugarland Skeeters.
Yeah, T-Mac's been on a good show with Rachel Nichols, too.
That's right.
The Jump. I enjoy that show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the changes, or lack thereof, the Clippers made this year.
They left. Jeff Green left. Cole Aldridge left.
They left Jeff Green at the altar.
Yeah. Pablo Prigioni, CJ Wilcox, Brandon Dawson. They brought in Ray Felton, Mo Spates, Brandon Bass, and drafted Bryce Johnson and Diamond Stone.
Yeah, they also signed Darrell Wright just recently.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I missed that on my... Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah, they really doubled down on signing Crawford and Rivers to a whopping $78 million combined between the two of them. All stats really point to the two of those guys being overpaid, but the Clippers really didn't have much of a choice.
That's the sticky situation of spending a lot of money is you can go, you can hit, when you have, if you have players bird rights or whatever, you can sign them over the cap, mm-hmm. but then you can't use that money if you're already over the cap to go over the cap. I don't know if I'm, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That's why they have, that's why you get stuck with Austin Rivers, or I don't want to say stuck with Jamal Crawford because we are a pro Jamal Crawford podcast.
Absolutely.
But $14 million is more than I think you, anyone else would have given him.
Yeah, you know, for those who say that Jamal Crawford is not efficient and only getting worse, as someone who's watched like 95% of Clippers games the past 4 years, Jamal Crawford, the Clippers bench without Jamal Crawford is completely inefficient.
Oh,
it's
there's
broken.
No, right, there's no question that he's... He is the bench guy.
He runs their entire show.
He really does.
Let's get into this starting lineup.
And now, the starting lineup for your Los Angeles Clippers!
My favorite player in the NBA, Chris Paul, CP3, mm-hmm. EG.
Right.
Second greatest point guard of all time, my opinion.
Seems just like it. Feels just like yesterday that I had a picture of him at Wake Forest on my wall in college.
Yeah. J.J. Redick at shooting guard. Man, the interview, Chris Paul was on J.J. Redick's podcast.
I downloaded it, haven't listened yet.
Let me give you a little spoiler, one of my favorite tidbits. J.J. Redick asked Chris Paul, would you say it's fair to say that we hated each other when we played against each other in college?
Yeah, did they?
Chris Paul's answer was, he calls J.J. Redick Bubs.
Yeah.
He says, well, Bubs, hate is a very strong word. And in this case, I would say the appropriate one.
Amazing.
Luke Mba Mute, I project, will probably start at small forward again.
Or Wesley Johnson.
Wesley Johnson, they just gave a new contract to.
Yeah.
Gave them Matt Barnes money.
Sure.
Blake Griffin, power forward, back, hopefully a hand and leg is ready to go. And first-team All-NBA center, DeAndre Jordan.
Olympic gold medalist.
Olympic brothel visitor, accidentally.
At one point, the Clippers and Warriors played in the preseason, and the Clippers got the snot beat out of them. I think at one point, DeAndre Jordan's plus-minus in the game was like minus 50.
I saw that. It was. Yeah. It ended up being negative 51.
That's insane. It's preseason. We're not...
I try not to look too much into preseason.
Right.
I did see, though, that the starting lineup of Paul, Redick, Mba Mute, Griffin, and Jordan only had the best net rating of any lineup that played more than 250 minutes last year.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You bumped down the minutes requirement and a few pop-up, most notably the death lineup on the Warriors. But
yeah.
Pretty good. I'm comparing the Clippers, my favorite basketball team, to the TV show You're the Worst. Probably my favorite comedy on TV right now.
Okay.
My wife and I met the show creator Stephen Falk in Austin at the Austin Film Festival a couple years ago.
That's cool.
Before the show even came out, and he told not just us, but a room full of people, you know, that the show was basically about two shitheads who fall in love, and we follow them and their love story, knowing full well that it's not going to work out for them in the end.
Right.
The actual theme song of the show, I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
It's just, I'm going to leave you anyway. I'm going to leave. It just over and over.
Yeah.
Really makes me think of the Los Angeles Clippers and how we're tricked into caring so much for Gretchen and Jimmy and You're the Worst. And
right.
CP3 and Blake, in my case, Lob City, followed them through their years. And just know full well they're probably going to break my hearts. Unless Steph Curry or something breaks his ankle.
Sure.
But I don't know where these guys would even go. I think that I'm just banking on, as a Clippers fan, that they're all addicted to living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Blake's got his pitchman stuff. He's starting to do stand-up comedy.
JJ has his podcast.
Yeah, he's got the podcast. He likes living near the beach. Chris just moved to Calabasas. Maybe he'll get tired of the commute. Or maybe he gets a helicopter like Kobe.
Yeah.
That's what he needs.
That's true. I mean, they can all go and make the same amount of money elsewhere. But as a team, include Redick in there. The four of them is a pretty solid four that can compete with pretty much anyone, as evidenced by our number four ranking.
Yeah, they're awesome. I just totally fear J.J. Redick's ability to re-sign with the team, though, because he's been playing so well.
Right.
Our friend of the show, Julian, has been telling me that that's who he expects the Minnesota Timberwolves to go after in free agency. But at the same time, Steve Ballmer was on J.J.'s podcast. He's good friends with Paul Allen, who just forked over a ton of money to keep all of his players in Portland. You know, even signed Evan Turner and Festus Ezeli, a couple other guys, too, and all still managed to stay. I guess he's probably exceeding the cap and paying taxpayer dollars. But he paid $2 billion for the team.
Sure.
And he's worth, like, $40 billion or so. What's an extra few to J.J. Redick? He had you on his podcast, man.
Right.
$100 million.
And you can make that up if you win the championship.
Either way, you know, I don't want to think too far long term, but it would definitely be worse to see these guys go. The only other thing I could possibly imagine is Chris Paul joining up with the super team that LeBron and Dwayne Wade have talked about.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a thing that's going to happen.
On that note, let's talk about their record prediction.
Record prediction!
They finished 53-29 last year. The previous three seasons, they actually had 56 wins or more. And I'm personally predicting that they tie their franchise record at 57-25 this year.
Yeah, I have 56-26, so close. Close to you.
Yeah, hopefully that's good enough for second place in the West.
Would you take that as a Clippers fan? 56?
Second place in the West is what I'm hoping for as a Clippers fan. Just waiting until the conference finals, where Chris Paul has never been.
See if he turns it on.
Just so he can get there.
Yeah.
And have that chance to play one more series to get to the finals.
Right. See if Paul Pierce throws in a few old school Paul Pierce moments, like hitting game winners and stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm not expecting that much, but the San Antonio Spurs, at least last year, didn't look like the team that could beat the Warriors, whereas I think the Clippers really could, especially if something just broke right for them.
Right.
Second seed in the West, play the Spurs in the conference semifinals, or whoever is in that third seed.
Sure.
Hopefully Portland or someone else.
The David Lee Spurs, got it. Right. More on that soon.
Yeah, so let's just get into it. How are they going to beat the damn San Francisco monkey on their back?
If you're going to beat San Francisco, be sure to give Riley Curry a death stare. If you are going to beat San Francisco, you're going to meet your
Blake and DeAndre, 20 points, 20 rebound games each.
DeAndre definitely is an advantage pretty much against almost any team in the NBA, but especially one that starts Zaza Pachulia.
Right.
I say they do whatever they did the seventh game into the season when they took a 20-point first half lead on the Warriors before an epic collapse that included a Steph Curry vine making CP3 fall over with a crossover. He really just stepped on his foot is what happened.
Sure.
Kind of a CP apologist.
I gotcha.
Matt, the Clippers really scare me into thinking they're going to break my heart again. It's been so many years in a row, but I love it anyways. Going to always keep doing it. Yeah. Makes me want to ask you a personal anecdote question.
Sure.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
What's your biggest sports heartbreak of all time?
I know what you're thinking, and you're thinking it would be the 93 Suns finals.
Right.
But it's actually the 1997 Rose Bowl when Arizona State lost to Ohio State. There was a chance that whoever the number one team in the nation was had lost. So writers and people were saying that if ASU won, they would vote ASU as national champions that year because they were undefeated.
Wow.
They took the lead in the last minute or the last few minutes, and Ohio State scored with 20 seconds left to snatch it away from them.
That is heartbreaking.
The reason it's more heartbreaking is because I was only 8 or 9 when the Suns lost, and I remember it well, but being 4 years older, I remember the gut-wrenching heartbreak of Arizona State losing much more.
Well, that's a tough one, man. When you ask me this question, you know, in our previews 5 years from now, I hope I don't say the 2016, 2017 Clippers.
Yeah.
That Kyrie Irving shot at the buzzer, man. Oh, that would actually be good enough. That Damian Lillard first round exit, man.
On the next episode of Brick House.
A team that I ranked ahead of my beloved Clippers. This team lost one of the greatest players of all time, but returned to the exact same place as last year in our Brick House preseason rankings. I think their current coach may have coached his team longer than all of the other Western Conference coaches combined.
Oh,
with
wow.
Their current teams.
Wow.
You'll find out answers, more questions, more entertainment on the next episode of Brick House.
Thank you.